You're listening to episode 13 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia.
David, what do we have lined up for this episode?
Well, Max, we got a special episode tonight, and I think we're going to have a lucky charm to offset our 13th episode.
Yeah, we have a very interesting guest, don't we, David?
We do. Now, anyone who's listened to Airplane Geeks knows that we've had a lot of fun over the years with our girls. Runway girl, Mary Kirby, Stephanie out of Harrisburg International Airport girl, and Linda Meeks, who runs Girls with Wings. So it's more than appropriate that we bring on Sally French, who goes by the name of Drone Girl. Welcome aboard, Sally.
Hey, David. Hey, Max. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you, Sally. Now, the tagline on your blog is Drone Hobbyist with a Passion for Aerial Photography. How did you become known as Drone Girl? Was that something that you picked or did someone pick that for you?
Yeah, it came up super randomly. I was actually in a course in my college where we used drones for journalism. I was a journalism major in college, and it really stuck with me. It didn't turn out to be just one class that I got my A in and left. I really got into drones. I started flying them on my own and taking pictures. So people just started calling me Drone Girl. So then I ended up making a website about it. We got a logo. My drone girl kind of looks like a superhero.
She flies her
drone. And it's been history since then.
So were you fascinated with drones just in and of themselves, or did you see them just as a tool to accomplish the sort of the photojournalism that you were after?
Definitely the latter. I really think of a drone just as a tool. I'm very interested in aerial photography. It's something that's not done a lot, especially in this era where everyone has an iPhone and can take a picture on whatever phone they have. There are millions of pictures out there, but very few of them come from the sky. So I think it's a really interesting tool to get both photos and video from the air.
So it wasn't just about the Easy A, huh?
No, not the Easy A, although I did get an A in that class, so that was good.
So let's tell everybody, what's your current drone that you fly?
So currently, I still keep my original copter, which is the DJI Phantom, and I do love it. But since I started, I've definitely learned a lot more about drones. My first copter was just kind of me learning how to fly. I love the Phantom because it's really easy to use. You don't have to put anything together. But since then, I actually have a job at 3D Robotics, and I love their copters as well. The Iris is coming out soon, and that's a really fun copter to fly, and I've also built my own Y6, but that one hasn't gotten into the air yet.
Well, I want to ask you about 3D Robotics, but first, Sally, let me just ask this. If someone is interested in kind of looking at photography from the sky using drones, do you have any recommendations for how to become knowledgeable in that? Where do you go to learn how to do this?
Definitely, if you want to learn about copters in general, DIYdrones.com is a great place to start. They have really solid forums where you can ask any questions. So if something funky happens to your drone, you can always look it up that way. Really just any place on the internet is a good place to go, as well as meetups. That's really how I started meeting people who gave me a lot of help, a lot of advice. So I just found on the internet a drone meetup. I went to the one in Orange County where I was living at the time. People gave me tons of flying tips, tons of advice on how to balance my propellers, which was something I didn't know how to do. And now I know all that. So I've been really lucky.
Now you can probably help others go down that same learning path.
Yeah, definitely. I've been really lucky to be able to help other people learn how to fly. I have a few different partnerships that I'm doing. I'm actually helping some photojournalists at the San Francisco Chronicle. They have a copter, and I taught them how to fly. That was a really great opportunity for me, and they have a really cool program using a quadcopter themselves.
Yeah, are other journalists really embracing this, or are they kind of standing away from it? How do other journalists generally? I know it's everybody's different, but how are they viewing sort of the things that you can do with drones that they can't do now?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Journalists, I think, on the whole, are really interested in them, but it's also kind of a gray area since it's not really clear with the FAA what the law is. I'm sure you know you can't use drones for commercial purposes.
Right.
So you kind of have this gray area of, is a newspaper a commercial purpose or is it an editorial purpose? So there are some newspapers that are definitely waiting for 2015 for the FAA to kind of decide, you know, do you need to get a permit? And then there are other journalists who are just saying, let's go ahead and do this. You know, we want to be safe and we want to be legal. So we're not going to fly around crowds and we're going to stay under 400 feet and do all that. And in the meantime, get really cool images to help us do storytelling better. I did an article for NPR that we covered a fire. It was a prairie fire, so it was really important to show where the fire was going. And you can't really see that from the ground. But we threw a drone up in the air, and we were able to see the entire line of the fire. We got really cool images where you could see the highway and the prairie right next to each other, and how the drone or how the fire was kind of moving opposite from the highway. So that really helped us tell the story much better than we could any other way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sally, my question is, and this is kind of a journalist question, would be, is does the drone and the photography make the story, or is the story helped by the drone and the photography?
That's a great question. Also, I would say that's the latter. Certainly not every story is better told by a drone. There are tons of stories that, you know, only need text, just like some stories are better told with videos or maybe still footage. Some stories are told entirely on Twitter, which is kind of this new age of journalism. But a drone is just another tool. So maybe you're doing a broadcast of, you know, a place where trains go to load, which was actually a story that the BBC did. So the BBC just reported their story as they always would, and they happened to have one live shot coming from a drone. So it was just a really cool way for people to get one additional angle of what this specific location looked like.
So Sally, what makes for... Oh, go ahead, David.
Oh, I was going to say, so I guess, Sally, what... Max was about to say what makes a good drone photo, and I was just follow that. I guess I'll follow that up with, and what's your favorite photo?
Ooh, that's such a good question. What makes a good photo? Definitely it needs to be aesthetically pleasing. Photographers are probably familiar with terms like the rule of thirds, things like that. So you definitely want to focus on having good composition, which FPV flying can certainly help you with that. But also, you know, telling a good story. So if you're trying to set a scene, you know, getting up to that right angle where you can show... if you're trying to show the way a river flows, then getting the entire river in that footage, you definitely want to have a human element if your story is about that. And that's definitely something a little kind of a gray area, since we don't really want to fire drones too close to people. So definitely thinking about your composition, what is the subject of the photo, and making sure that photo still tells a story.
Very good.
I don't know, Max. That sounds like a lot of details. I'm good at that, standing there with my Nikon on the ground, taking something flying by, but I'm not sure I'm coordinated enough to do that with flying the aircraft at the same time. What do you think?
Well, you know, that leads to a good question. Maybe is there a particular kind of drone that lends itself to aerial photography, or can you basically just kind of, you know, pick anything that can carry the weight of, you know, whatever camera you're using?
Yeah, so right now I'm just using a GoPro, since that's what will mount to my copters. There are tons of drone pilots out there who use SLR cameras or the mirrorless cameras, and those are definitely better quality. But for me right now, I'm just using a GoPro, and it definitely does everything I need it to do. I can mount a GoPro to a DJI Phantom, which I love to use because, you know, it doesn't require any assembly. I know it works. Same as the 3D Robotics Iris. It moves really well. It's easy to use. So if I'm out reporting on an assignment, I can just, you know, keep that strapped to my back. And then when I'm out in a field, I can just set it down, take it off, and it can go.
The GoPro is pretty lightweight, too, at least relative to a SLR or some other cameras. So I imagine that gives you more options in terms of the payload capacity of the drone.
Definitely. And we always talk about being a backpack journalist. So you want to be able to pick up your backpack and go and report on the story as soon as it happens. So the fewer items that you need to kind of collect and make sure you have everything with you, the better. So that's why the copters I use are really ideal, since they don't really require any assembly. I can just take it and have it all charged and ready to go.
So how about working at 3D Robotics? What's your position over there?
So I do multimedia producing for them. It's a really cool gig that I have. A lot of people you'll see in the news report on drones either as a military tool or kind of as something really ridiculous like the taco copter. And those are really fun, but a lot of people tend to overlook stories of how drones can really help. And that's something that you guys look at your podcast. And that's also something that I'm doing for 3D Robotics. So our company is doing a lot of really cool things, especially in the way of agriculture, helping farmers to spot issues with their crops. And so what's really cool about my job is that I get to go out with them on their flights, and I get to talk to the farmers and ask them how drones are helping them. And then I get to produce videos for the company that show how our drones, or really any drones, can benefit the world. And so it's really awesome to be able to share those stories.
Yeah, I think it was, what, David, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about what 3D Robotics was doing with the vineyard.
Sally, I got to admit, you know, combining two of my favorite things in the world, wine and drones, though not simultaneously, is a good thing.
Yeah, it was fun. So I was actually out at that vineyard and I made a movie about it, and it was really cool. We also got to taste all of the wine grapes, which was the best part.
I like this girl, Max. she fits right in with us. So, Sally, where do you see 3D robotics going, as you know, in the future? I mean, you're talking about specific agriculture, like viticulture. What other roads is 3D robotics trying to travel down?
There are so many roads. We have so many opportunities to keep expanding. Definitely, we're starting to look into construction, how we can help spot sites that they're either already doing construction on or are going to. Also looking into film, how cinematographers can use drones, which obviously a lot of cinematographers already are embracing drones. But definitely it's a technology that's going to become more and more prevalent, especially after the FAA kind of decides how they're going to regulate it. Drones are only going to be in the hands of more and more people. So there's tons of room to grow. So it's a really exciting time for our company, really exciting time for anyone who's in the drone industry.
Yeah, speaking of cinema, David, we see an article. Did this come in from a listener? Is that where we...
Bill sent us in about a Pierce Brosnan scene with Selma Hayek being filmed on a beach by a drone camera. It was from the Daily Mail. Interesting that they were using the drone to get a more romantic feel, not something romance and drones, not something you normally hear together, huh?
Yeah, Hollywood using drones. And the interesting thing from that article, besides just the fact that they were using it in this particular movie that they're making, is all the other movies where they've used multi-copters or different drones. So besides that upcoming movie with Brosnan and Hayek, There are some other movies, too, like Skyfall and Oblivion and Man of Steel, even Star Trek Into the Darkness, the Hunger Games and Iron Man 3. I mean, these things are being used all over the place in Hollywood. And I think that's, you know, like you say, Sally, that's a great application for these kinds of aircraft in certain situations.
Yeah, definitely. They're nimble. They can get around. They're really easy to, you know, take the same shot multiple times rather than, you know, using a helicopter to do that. It seems a lot safer than having a helicopter up in the air.
And much, much lower cost.
Right.
It does prevent having to do what they did in The Sound of Music, which was to take over and over when they, On the Hills Come Alive. Poor Miss Andrews got knocked over by the helicopter, downwashed multiple times.
Oh, man.
So if they had a drone, they could have done it in one take, you know. And the problem was, as she kept rolling down the hill, the grass stains kept up onto her beautiful dress. So I'm very partial to that scene because I'm not really partial to the musical, but I always find it funny when I found out that she kept getting knocked over by the helicopter shot.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That is good. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So does 3D robotics, besides, providing hardware, aircraft and things, drones for applications like this, does 3D robotics also devote a lot of energy to sort of promoting the general concept of using these things in these ways?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my job right there is making videos, kind of getting the word out, getting those stories about how people can use drones. And we really advocate for positive drone use. So things like using it to film movies, search and rescue, things like that. We really hope that people will embrace that. Of course, 3D Robotics hopes that they'll use their products. But just even as Drone Girl, I see a lot of value in where drones can go, what they can do.
You know, another thing that's characteristic of this that Dave and I talk about a lot and kind of is one of the reasons why we're so drawn to this is the different variety of these things. I mean, there's, you know, quadcopters and hexcopters and fixed-wing drones and all kinds of little tiny bird-like, hummingbird-like drones. And we've talked about, you know, vertically launching drones. The variety is just endless at this point, isn't it?
We actually have a copter. It's called a dodecacopter. So you guessed it. It has 12 arms and 12 motors.
Wow.
That's a lot of rotors coming at. I have to admit.
We don't sell that one. That was just something we made for fun.
One of the interesting designs we've seen recently is this gimbal UAS. And we saw an article in UAS Vision about the gimbal. It's a spherical, it has a spherical roll cage with a sort of a gimbaled copter inside, and it's also got an accelerometer. And this thing can recover from collisions with objects, so you can give it a path to go through or to go along. And if it encounters objects in its way that it bumps into, this thing just kind of recovers and keeps on going. It's kind of a fascinating concept.
It makes for a great video, and that's Max and I have come to the conclusion that's one of the reasons why we like this is there's a lot of really cool videos being shot by drones and UAVs and UASs. So what do you think? Is this just a novel technology, or is this, Sally, something that's going to affect everybody?
Yeah, you know, I watched his video and it looks very silly, but it actually seems like it has a lot of real uses. The article talks about, you know, using this to be deployed in disaster situations. And I really think that's a real use rather than with the current drones that you guys are flying, you hit a wall and it crashes. This, if you could hit a wall and then bounce off and keep flying and be able to enter a burning building and see where people are. That's a fantastic application. And it's the drone world is so creative, which is what I love about it. The fact that someone would say, let's make this gimbal that can just bounce off things, probably 10 years ago would have been unheard of. So it's really awesome that people are embracing this technology and trying to do creative things with it.
Is the development of things like this sort of segmented? And by that, I mean this. Sometimes it's all about the hardware. Sometimes it's all about the software, the control software, and almost always it's some combination of that. Do we find people that are kind of developing it and looking at it across all those aspects? Or are there software people that kind of focus on the control code and other people that look at the motors and the you know propeller dimensions and things like that? How is the development of these things proceeding?
There is definitely a wide range of people. There are people who are super into the software. I have a friend who made a mode that the drone can actually bank, which is something that most drone code doesn't let you do. So they're the software people, they're the hardware people, they're the people who want to build the copters that have 12 different propellers on them. So the drone world is, there's definitely something for everybody if you like to tinker with it, if you like to write the code, if you like to paint them. I have a drone that I painted pink. So there's really something for everyone.
And in terms of the hobbyist, you know, maybe someone that got a limited budget or is not a commercial operation, or like the farmer who's got a business he's trying to support, or that kind of a thing. For the hobbyist, is there a good path that makes sense in terms of getting into this? You know, are these things extensible? Can you start out with something and then add on to it, build it, add more components, or do you have to kind of jump from drone to drone?
It definitely depends what you like to do. The really great thing is that you can take a drone and you can always add more things and modify it when you save up money and figure out what more you want to do. Even if you start with just a basic copter, you might want to add a gimbal, or you might want to, add some way to reduce the vibration or add FPV. So like I said, I just started out with a basic DJI Phantom. But since then I've grown so much. There's, a limited number of things that the Phantom can do. It can only really hold as much weight as a GoPro. So if you're into just flying, I would recommend starting out with something easy, something cheap, because you will crash, I promise. I've flown it into trees, and I was an RA in college, and I had my freshman go climb the tree to get it for me. I've flown it onto roofs. So definitely start with something that you don't mind breaking and don't mind crashing, and then you definitely can advance from there and get bigger, fancier ones. I'm too afraid to fly something with more than four arms for now, but I hope to become a better pilot.
Yeah, well, and that makes sense. Even if you can afford it, don't go out and overbuy something that's beyond your flying capabilities, because you need to get those skills honed before you invest too much in it, because it's going to be kind of an expensive hobby otherwise.
It is definitely an expensive hobby. But the good thing is that if you're willing to put in the time and effort and build it yourself, it's quite a bit cheaper to do that rather than buy these ready-made copters.
And the kits are reasonably easy to assemble, aren't they?
Yes. So I've never done anything technical in my life, and I took the Y6 kit, and it took me less than a day to put it together. So if I can do it, so can you.
So Sally, I guess my next question is, where do you see yourself, and what are your goals as far as this hobby? And then I'll follow it up with, do Max and I count as dronies? I love that term on your blog.
You're totally a dronie. I love my dronies, and you count. I think anyone who's interested, who's curious about drones, they totally count as a dronie. So you for sure have a spot as a dronie on my blog. As far as where I'm going, I'm not sure yet. That's a great question. I think a lot is in the hands of the FAA and how they decide drones can be used. I hope to do more reporting. I love where I am right now. I would also love to end up flying drones for newspapers and gathering images. I love storytelling. I really love the power of journalism. So I really think that drones can advance that and tell better stories, tell different stories that you otherwise would never be able to tell. So it's a really exciting time. It's a great time to be in drones.
It is definitely a great time to be in drones. And even though, like you say, the FAA is going to, at least in the U.S., is going to define for us a lot of the restrictions and parameters of all this. And despite the fact that the FAA doesn't move quickly and it's going to take some time, it's still gigantically exciting because of all the innovation and the possibilities. And when the FAA does settle in on what the requirements are going to be, the regulations, that it'll just allow so many people to sort of blossom into so many different areas that involve drones, whether it's providing sales hardware, selling drones, designing drones, finding applications for them, helping other people find applications for them, and teaching people how to use them. There's just so many possibilities. I think it's going to be an awfully big industry, and there's opportunities for lots and lots of people to get in.
Definitely. As you said, who knew that drones would be able to help make wine?
Exactly. Exactly. So I think it's going to be a real economic entity, powerhouse in the coming years. And so for people who are learning how to do all this stuff now, I mean, those are the people who are the future experts and the future leaders in this industry that's just starting to grow. It's cool. I love that stuff.
Sally, one of my biggest pet peeves anymore, and truth be told, I have a military aviation background, is does it drive you nuts like it does me that the word drone is equivalent to either an MQ-9 Reaper or an MQ-1 Predator? That in journalism, that seems to be anybody mentions the word drone, and that's the image that the stock photographers pull. Does that bother you?
Yeah, definitely. It's a huge problem. I think, especially in using the terminology of the word drone, you know, should we call it a drone if that's the same thing that they're using in the military? Because clearly something that you buy on Hobby King is not something that they would use in the military. So, I like using the word drone, but it's also a problem when people don't really stop to think of the difference that a military drone is so much different than something that you can buy or build yourself in your garage. So definitely there's a difference between the consumer drones and the military drones. And it's a shame that, mainstream media really kind of lumps it all into one category.
Yeah. And initially my strategy was, okay, so we won't call them drones. If drones have this in the press and in the popular public perception, this negative connotation, we won't use that word. We'll call them something else. But the more I thought about it, the less sense that made. And now my view is kind of, let's just call them what we want to call them. And as more and more people become aware of the positive, socially responsible applications, that we can change the view of that word in the public perception.
Yes, I definitely agree with you. I think it's up to people like you guys to highlight the different uses of a drone, to show that you can use a drone to shoot a movie in Hollywood, and that that's not something that we're sending out to military, that it's something completely different, and let the military drones do their thing, and then let's really stop to consider legislation that really has to do with, the drones that we do see in America every day that are shooting movies or that are helping farmers figure out how to harvest grapes to make wine.
Right, exactly. All right, well, Sally, we should give you an opportunity to tell our listeners where they can find you online, your blog, and on Twitter and so forth. Where can people find more of you?
Great. Thanks for letting me do my shameless plug. You can find me online at thedronegirl.com or definitely follow me on Twitter at thedronegirl. Tweet me, send me anything, any drone information. I love at replies. So definitely let's connect.
Very good. All right, David, what do you think?
I think that went way too quickly. And hopefully, Sally, maybe you'll come back again in the future.
Totally. I would love to.
So I guess, well, folks, that wraps it up. Sally, thank you for coming on and answering my tweet. And thank you for being a really cool blog and a lovely person to talk to. And hopefully we'll have you on again.
Thanks. You guys are great.
Our website, of course, is theuavdigest.com. You can find us on Twitter at UAVDigest, on Facebook.com/UAVDigest. If you want to send us an email, it's feedback@theuavdigest.com. And for UAV Digest, this is David in Philly.
And this is Max in Hartford.
We'll see you next week.